Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. I'm Elder Rikar Shiar of the Gathering of Christ Church. I'd like to thank you for being loyal Patreon members. We're here going into the Sabbath, and I would like to say blessing to all you brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth in the name of Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya, the God of the Hebrews. In the name of Christ, through the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, today we have a very important broadcast today. That's right. The broadcast, as you see, titled, Demon Possession or Mental Illness. For years, there was a book called the DSM-5. Let me pull this up so that you all can see this. As we dive into this particular topic, and it's really coming down to the fact that how society have allowed the normalization of mental illness, which is no different than demon possession. See, over here, I don't have to pose it as a question. I can tell you like it is, okay? Over here, we don't have to pose it as a question or a maybe. Folks, that's right. Sicknesses, including mental illnesses, are a direct result of demon possession. I don't care what anyone tell you. It's the truth. Some sicknesses worse than others. Some mental illnesses worse than others. But all, they all have the same root. And that's what? A demon possession, so that the lower powers that shouldn't exist, can control you remotely, can operate and control your emotions. Now, can they do this all the time? No, they can't. But usually you're under the behest of the sorceress, priest, or priestesses when there's a trigger. When there's a trigger, that's when you're under their power. Be it mentally, if any of us were traumatized as children, it doesn't matter who we run into in the future that has nothing to do with that person that caused the initial trauma. Automatically, our brain will revert back to that moment if we are in a similar circumstance with a separate person, and that new person or people will experience the wrath of that trigger. It's that trigger, that moment, that defines in identifying the spirit that came in during the moment of trauma. And people are like, yo, why are you acting all out like that? I mean, was it that deep? And you didn't even realize that it's the demon that entered at the point of trauma. That trauma could have come in when you were a child. And people are like, yo, this person is crazy. But you know, what I said or did today didn't warrant that response. And because we have walked and operated with that spirit attached to us, we don't even realize that it's the trauma that comes out at a point of trigger. And that's on the physical side. Right? Now, this is how the sorcerers and demons over the powers that be can control a society into criminality and killing and destruction and all these things. Right? So now they're controlling you remotely without even what? Without even being in your presence. Demon possession. Demon control. Right? So it's a necessity for them to have these components of evil in place in order to control a population, an overpopulation of a country or a community. That's the mental side. The spirit, the physical side, sicknesses. Automatically, there's a trigger that put us at the behest of a doctor. Now, on the physical side, it's called allergies. right? Something happened in our environment that triggered a negative body response. And now you must get treatment. You must now go get treatment. Because what? That sickness was triggered. So it's still what? It have us at the behest or control of the overlords, where you're dependent on them. Instead of that dependence we once had under God. Under God. And this is what Christ meant when he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, the truth is not just what the enemy's doing. The truth is also the truth that's within ourselves. That they have cultivated a society in which a person protects a demon by becoming blinded by it. See, we protect the demon. So Christ made it where, no, let's talk about our traumas. Let's talk about what we went through so that now it has no power over you. And the overlords at that point lose the power or control they used to have through your triggers. 515-605-9327. Now, how exactly have they normalized it? Well, they got these certain witches and warlocks within our system, folks. And keep in mind, we're living under a society that's heavily influenced and controlled through entertainment. The entertainment mechanism is so important because it drives the control over a society. There's no other way you can communicate, market to, or even control a mass number of people who are looking and listening at one time. It's almost impossible unless you have a mechanism in place like Rome had with the mob, where all people from different walks of life can all be there at one moment, right? Unified to hear one message. The one place that gathers all of us together without any issues, regardless of our political views, our persuasion, our background, sports, entertainment, all of that galvanizes the people as one. Regardless of what, you can have a straight KK member on one side cheering for the same team as a black man he hates. And for a moment, they're drinking beer together and clinking glasses together or cups together, being what? Being under that control. And it leads us to, if we understand that society is heavily influenced and controlled through media, it allows us to separate from their influence. Okay? Where we can look at something that's entertaining as just entertainment without it having a profound effect over us. Right? So what do? Since they understand that our people in particular are so heavily influenced through entertainment, that's right, folks. They put certain witches and warlocks in position to drive their agenda of control. Jada Pinkett Smith influenced family psychedelic drug use, son Jaden says. Let's look at it for a second. Jada Pinkett Smith was the first to introduce psychedelic drugs into her family, according to her 24-year-old son, Jaden Smith. I think it was my mom, actually, that was really the first one to make that step for the family. Jaden Smith said of Jada Pinkett Smith, 51, while speaking at the Psychedelic Science Conference in Denver on Friday, according to USA Today. it was heard for a really, really long time. And then eventually, it just trickled and evolved, and everybody found it in their own ways. Boy, what a loving mother. Reps, but don't forget, she was the same woman that was behind the Red Table Talk, a series given to her, Red Table, Satan's Table, giving women a platform to emasculate men, starting with their own husband, where no one would recognize Jada. Who is Jada Pinkett Smith compared to Will Smith? Reps for Jada Pinkett Smith and Jaden Smith did not immediately respond to Fox's News Digital request for comment. The 24-year-old said that the drugs, which are mainly illegal in the U.S., have given him more empathy. So he took on a spirit, especially with his semblance. Aaron Rodgers. Now they got the entertainment side. Now they have the sports side. Aaron Rodgers calls for acceptance of psychedelics, says hundreds of players have asked him about ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is an ancient Asian drug that goes back to the tree of good and evil, where once a lot of Hollywood stars takes this on an overnight sabbatical, a lot of CEOs over companies take this, where the spirit move them and takes them someplace else and teach them knowledge. The same knowledge that was introduced to Adam and Eve. And it gives them an entirely different perspective on life from that day forward. But what they aren't saying, brothers and sisters, is that the demon that attached itself while you were under lives with you throughout your life. Up until the time, that's right, the angel of death enters. And that spirit lets go, and the angel of death takes it from there. On and on and on. A form of control. Now, at the same time, they're pushing psychedelics and drugs all over the place. I mentioned earlier the DSM-5 is a book of psychiatry which gives us the latest diagnosis on what mental illness is in the earth. And through time, based on society accepting wickedness, they're able to now take what was once a mental illness off the books to add things to the book, like homosexuality. Homosexuality was once deemed a mental illness, but now it's readily accepted. It's no longer a mental illness. Same time they're pushing psychedelics, they're pushing homosexuality. Same time. Fair use. Let me make it clear. Let me make it clear. I would never excuse overindulgence when it comes to alcohol, right? But I'm going to show you how they're able to move the goalposts, literally. Every time these psychedelics come up, they bring up alcohol. When in the Bible it says, what? A little wine for the belly. Right? And that give wine or give strong drink to those who's ready to die. See, they weren't given morphine and all these things at the end of a man or woman's life. They would give them alcohol that would put them to sleep and help them deal with the pain. Strong drink. But wine for the belly. Even Christ turned water into wine. So you have to watch them move in the goalposts. I would never excuse the overindulgence into anything. But it's straight irresponsible for them to compare psychedelics to alcohol. Okay? It's outright insane. So she's concerned about anxiety, depression, and ADHD. Well, why not go into the issues that cause, the root issues that cause these particular diagnoses? So there's no need for psychedelics. See? So what they're teaching us through their sorcery, like this witch right here, they're teaching you to cope with the demon. Without a solution, without a cure. See? See, I'm able to point these things out because for the normal person who look at these programming on TV, it sounds like these are intelligent people who make sense. When really they're convincing you to do what you would normally be skeptical of. The Jedi mind trick. Feel. The same time they're putting people out of their homes. The same time they're squeezing people financially. Here's your solution. Get high. Not fix the issues they have caused. And understand under the FDA and others, they have a different definition for safe than we do. Okay? They have a different definition. The medical definition for safe is you can take it today and not die. Immediately, as if you were poisoned by a concentrated amount of cyanide. So safe, according to them, is you can take it today and you didn't die. That's what safe is for them. See, this is why when they were rolling out the so-called coronavirus, so-called COVID vaccine. They say those who would take the vaccine sit around 20 minutes so that we can make sure there's no adverse effects. So if you can make it out of the doctor's office after 20 minutes, then that means it's safe. If you kill over and die in the street or kill over and in a car accident by a heart attack 30 minutes later, even though it was because of the vaccine, it was safe. So you have to really understand what their words mean scientifically. Safe means you didn't die immediately after taking it. Feel happier. Folks, listen. I don't want to feel happy if I'm not happy. And emotion is natural, which leads to solution. Or celebration, solution in times of conflict or indecision. An example: if someone passed, I'm depressed. I'm mourning. That's a natural, healthy way of showing my natural emotion to how I love someone who's no longer with me. I don't want no one to peel that away. So if I'm sad, I'm sad for a reason. It's something I've done that have placed me in this sad predicament. Predicament. The last thing I need is for someone to prescribe a happy pill to make me forget that I'm actually in a predicament. I'd rather be sad in this predicament because that leads to me doing something about it. It leads to a solution that will make what a learning curve to not be here again. How dare you take the experience of life, the natural emotions of life, away from us? Don't you want to feel happy? Our veterans deserve to get high. Post-traumatic stress disorder. And how many of the so-called servicemen who are veterans came back and said, well, listen, I didn't really have no trauma over there while I was there. I began to experience these psychological issues after I received these certain vaccines they gave us overseas. Wasn't it the same argument Montel Williams made when it came to the campaign to legalize marijuana? Same argument. There's certain people who are suffering in silence. Why not at least allow them to do it only before they make it legal and begin to push it on our children? Hold up. It sounds like what? Folks, you have my word on this. I didn't see this whole clip before showing it to you live. I had no idea he was going to say that. But I've been following history, news, current events, prophetic scenarios for a long time to be able to identify patterns. You know how we're losing the next generation, folks, of children? They're targeting them. This is how the gay people and all that are going to get more people to where the majority of the population are going to identify as something else. As long as they can get everyone up under the demonic drugs, folks. The tree of good and evil. A demon got on him. He shot up everything and said the world was ending under a psychedelic, folks. Let me tell you, this is nothing that I don't know about. Not that I've tried it myself, but in the music business, folks, you know how many people try to push this stuff on me when I was coming up? It was my manager, who was a Jewish guy, who said, listen, you don't want, that's a door you don't want to open. And I said, you know what? I'm so glad that I was in the choir, came from the background of Christianity, a long line of pastors on either side of my family, even though it was tempting at the time. They even had a young lady who was a beautiful young lady, okay, that was signed to the company also, who tried to introduce or at least say, just try it one time. It was a guy named Sean, a Jewish guy. I would never forget him. When my manager left, he said, Rich, you need to trip one time. They all do it. Michael do it. Prince do it. You trip one time and all of your creativity will be unlocked. Quote, unquote. He says, you are talented. But I'll tell you this, there's something else. And I've seen the rings around his eyes. He looked bugged out. Okay, he wasn't even blinking. Dead serious. And I'm like, you know what? You're probably right, Sean, but I'll take my chances with the talent that I'm blessed with. That's a large number. Then she say, right. I mean, one out of seven people will bug out depending on what? And that study is dependent on, you know, what the dosage of use is or how much someone is using a particular drug. That number could be greater than one out of seven. So she come back after pushing it and saying, well, right. One out of seven people could go crazy and shoot something up. That's why you can't trust witches like this. And the last thing we need in our dying communities are psychedelics, folks. And if you look at her, she's not even there. Look at her. I haven't seen this woman blink one time. Who's talking? So you have to be very careful with these slow-talking people like this, talking to everyone like they're first graders. Sure, it's okay. I mean, that's why we have to do the right things. And, you know, suppose you may blow your brains out, but, hey, you'll be happy doing so. Oh, she did blink. ABC 123, folks, this is all psychology. You see how it's an even flow, monotone? They're taught to do this in the school of psychology. This is how you convince people to do things contrary to themselves, like they convince many people to take that ridiculous shot. John Hopkins University is funded by Bill Gates. It makes you feel more spiritual. Folks, I'm very spiritual. And I don't have to feel spiritual. I'm very spiritual. I believe in the Bible, Christ, the Holy Spirit, God's people. I believe in righteousness, honor, respect. This is what we see here is a dog whistle for hippies. Of course you can't suicide, but if people have done these psychotropics, folks, found themselves in serious places outside of their immediate realm, okay? They found themselves climbing Mount Everest, living in North Philly, okay? They found themselves, you know, and guess what? You can walk outside and believe that you're running through the grass and all that and running through the meadows, and here it is, you on I-95 getting ran over. They don't even tell people about how go down on where? Kensington and Allegheny. Go to Kensington and Allegheny in Philadelphia and see these people sitting there like Neo, leaning back, not even falling, grabbing because they see different colors and all that, but they really, in their reality, they're grabbing balls and all that, different colors. A sunflower coming at me. And you see her laughing. Hey, come on, woman. Get it together. One more thing, and then I'm going to open it up, and I have a few more things to go over, but I want to tackle that. Why are they allowing Will Smith's so-called wife, Jada Pinkett, to totally influence children, her own children, without any criminal backlash, without being charged, without being looked into? And it is prevalent in our community where we allow these women to run loose and destroy our children. Why aren't the media saying anything about that? And on top of them pushing psychotropics. And then there's another thing, and I showed this before, and I found it. I was like, we need to revisit this. Perfectly healthy. So the nurse was an accomplice to this. So they know that they have certain people that are targeted, men and women alike, taken to the hospital, folks, where you have a team ready to do whatever they have on the table. And obviously on the table was probably organs that they knew this guy had. And guess what? They probably had every part of him already sold on the black market, or either some high elite waiting somewhere for an organ. So they bring their teams, and this is why we have to really look at the healthcare institutions now, because now they come in teams now. There's no one who's really working at one particular hospital. It's more contract work that allows doctors and others to come in without any level of consistency, so that now the hospital or institution in itself isn't complicit or liable. So they grab the brother from a car accident and do what? The nurse. This is the same nurse who will come into your doctor's room, into your patient room, when your daughter's having a baby, and try to push the vaccinations on your child. You're already sick under duress and stress from the child alone, and now they're coming to stress you psychologically, making you feel unfit in all this, trying to push the poisons in our children. That brother is spiritually strong. He was sedated and couldn't move, but he willed the spirit in him to overcome the medication, to pull the tubes out of him. Don't tell me the spirit isn't more powerful than what the world and scientists are claiming. He was sedated. She said, I shot him 3 times. He should be down. He willed himself. Folks, this is what they fear in Judah. He willed himself out of that hospital, folks. The spirit came alive. He pulled the stuff out of him and walked out. He said he'd never been sick. Folks, brother, that's why you were a candidate. You were the perfect candidate for the organs they wanted. They had you because you've never been sick. Now, think about all the brothers and sisters who don't know that they are organ donors. Why? Because the corporations, as well as the healthcare industry, made a deal with the DMV and all that, where everyone have identifications to say, if you get an identification, you automatically opt in as an organ donor. Unless you tell them you don't want to be an organ donor, you're automatically put in the pool of organ donors without knowing it. If you have identification in the United States and didn't tell them that you don't want to be a donor, you are an organ donor. And now through Barack Obama, all of your information is through a database that the corporations can now access. So if there's some rich guy who needs an organ and your blood matches him, they can get an organ anywhere in the United States. Because why? You volunteered your organs. The only thing they need is to facilitate a convenient car accident. Huh? Oh, we ain't talking like that. He was excreting much pain in a nutshell with the medication coming out of him. Oh, he heard the woman, the lovely lady, we can't use that those terms here, shot him with sedation three times. She said, I hit him three times. Their new form of weaponry, the syringe. They would have conveniently called the parents, called the family after death, after getting his organs and said, I'm sorry, you just lost your son. You just lost your brother. You just lost your cousin or family member in a car accident. Case closed. The Most High wasn't with him. And if he didn't have the will to get up out of there, folks, these psychologists and these sorcerers, they know how to work. They go into damage control and get the most agreeable person to call the family and give condolences. Look at that. 515-605-9327. There's a few other things I'm going to pull up as we go through the phone calls today, one at a time. And we're going to leave it open, okay? Whatever you would like to talk about within the time frame of this particular broadcast, I'm open for it. But let's keep it within the parameters if necessary. Right? Demon possession or mental illness. See, and this is what happens when you put the majority of society under some type of psychosis or mental illness. We begin to trust the same society who have destroyed us. Okay? That's a psychosis in of itself. And to make you weak, you're an easy prey for whatever they would like to do against you. So it's time to free ourselves. Free ourselves from the control. 347 area code. 347. Three, four, seven. Okay, I'll go back to 347 in a moment. 574 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, sir. The floor is yours.
This is Brother Samuel Allah, Chicago Body. I spoke on Patreon about the ADHD apparatus a few months ago. You know, I think that part of the them being able to diagnose mental illness is starting at a young age with getting the parents on board with young boys, especially, you know, you definitely went over this, and their behavior in the classroom and, you know, having two young boys, you know, not even of 4 years of age yet. I see me and them and just the energy that I have. And then I look at the generation that I grew up in. You know, I'm 28 years old now. And I can only think that how many people are actually out there being used with a misdiagnosis because of their behavior as children and not being able to be taught in the right manner or given the right avenues to be taught, which led to the demonic possession. It's definitely demonic possession, but I believe that it starts at that very young age. Where, like you said, the demons just take hold, and, you know, I know that I'm a very, you know, what we call zealous in this truth person, but in the world it's called impulsive. You know, the diagnosis of this child is impulsive. He just very impulsive and doesn't think before he does, doesn't think before he speaks. And, you know, it's a demon, and it's one that you have to fight. It's one that is a day-to-day fight. It's a day-to-day battle. And I believe that Christ gave us the avenues.
I don't want to push back at that, because it depends on male or female how society deems the same situation. When a woman or a young girl is ambitious, driven, she's called ambitious. She's driven. She's curious. When a young man have that ambition and drive, they demonize it by calling it impulsive. So what we don't want to do, and I check out how the other nations deal with their children. You do not want to take away that go-getter, ambitious spirit from young boys and have them fear taking chances. 9 times out of 10, the other nations will never allow their children to do that, because why? Their young men must see beyond the possibilities society has made for them or has given them. And this is why their children strive to succeed. Our young men and ambition is what? It's always shot down from being impulsive, claiming that we're too active, and all of that. And what? They try to keep us. They try to keep us from that natural drive God has given us through fear. Don't do this or you may get this or that might happen. And it puts us in a box while every other nation excels. Now, there's a such thing as being impulsive if you're evil or wicked or looking to do something wrong. But ambition, when it's stared in the right place for the right purposes, leads to what? Success. So brother, there's a different set of rules. There's a different set of rules for the poor than it is for the rich. This is why the rich people, what do? Their child gets 2 years old, and here it is. They'll take a little boy at 2 years old and throw him in a swimming pool. Can you imagine that? I've seen it done. I was overseas. I'm like, what are you doing? And they don't worry about it. He'll be all right. And then they'll go in later and make sure his head is above the water. And that child is moving and doing everything to survive, an instinct that naturally and innately begin to grow the children beyond fear and water or anything else. But if you were a little too antsy in a classroom and squirming in the desk based on the fact your teacher is boring you to death and haven't challenged you, something is wrong with you. They'll call you ADHD. You have a low attention span. There's a difference between us being raised in poor areas and how the rich, in contrast, operate with their children. We have to bring back that same impulse, that drive, that ambition to win that once was Jacob. And don't fall to their restrictions. We're living in a society where we're telling the girls to be go-getters and the boys to become docile and wonder why the world is so screwed up. But go ahead, I'll give you the last word.
Con, I'm in agreement. And I just
let your boys be boys. Let your boys be boys. Let me tell you, they're gonna make some mistakes. They're gonna scrape a few things up. They're gonna scrape their knees and all that. They guess what? But let them be boys. I thank the Most High that I had a father who said, listen, at a certain age, when I was past the suckling age, my father was like, listen, stop calling that boy. Okay? Every time something's going on him with him, you sitting there trying to coddle him. No. Let that boy go outside and play football. Go run through something. Go break something. My father encouraged manhood. Okay? And this is what, we need to bring that back. We live in a system where we have made the women the ambitious ones to say, you go get the things men should have, and the boys, okay, don't do this and don't do that in fear of what might happen. No, brother, we need to change it. And I think that that's a demon in of itself. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Bless you, Elder.
Hello? Anything else?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry, brother. You was cut off. Real quick, brother, because I have to go through the next call. Real quick.
I just wanted to round that up with, you know, my son's been able to hear your wise words, hear the words of the Spirit and of the Most High since he was born, both my boys. And that's because of the Most High Christ, this ministry. And, you know, one thing that I think that we can overcome the trauma, the past, even this demonic possession is simply what Christ said, what Josiah said, which was fasting and praying. And before I started listening to this broadcast, I actually came up with a little something that I'd like you to hear if you allow.
Okay. Is it quick?
Yes, very quick.
Okay, go on.
We gotta fast, we gotta pray, we gotta exalt the Most High's name. We gotta fast, we gotta pray, we gotta exalt the highest name. And I'm not the best singer, but, you know, he put it on my spirit. We gotta fast, we gotta pray, and we gotta exalt him. Keep his law, statutes, and commandments, and hold to his son. We'll be all right. Bless you, Elder.
Okay. Well, bless you, brother. I may clip that and see what we can do with it. All right? Bless you.
Bless you.
I'll give you credit if it turned into something. Bless you. My brother. 347. 347. 347. All right. I don't know. I probably went to sleep. 216 area code. 216. And then we can hear from Kanye West. 216 area code.
Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. Sir, how are you? I'm doing well.
All right. Did you get that?
Did I get what?
I sent you something. They said you got it. Through the mail.
Through the mail?
Yeah, DVD.
Well, I did get it. Oh yeah, I have it. Oh yeah, I have the whole package. I have everything you sent. I have it.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother. I have the whole package.
I had to do it the old school way. I'm not really a high tech, you know, how to do all that other stuff to send it to you.
Oh, yeah. But, I received it all, brother. I received it. Thank you.
But I'd suggest everybody get in the academy. This is my 30th straight, 30, number 30 straight.
There
like
go.
Seven,
man,
8 years.
Kind of lost that.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Thank you, my brother.
It's been,
and you
it's
being
been
a brother.
Good. It's never
been
the same.
Thank you, sir. You being a brother in the music business and you know, with that talent, I know you can relate to a lot of stuff we're talking about, especially when it comes especially when it comes to the drug usage within the music business, how that's just an integral part of the business in of itself.
I could tell you one musician that I could tell you I know personally. This guy, he used to play with Little Richard. He used to play with the Isaac Brothers, and he used to play with all the Motown guys. He played the guitar left hand, a right-handed guitar, and turned around and played the left hand. And he learned how to play those keys. You're not supposed to do that, but he did it. You know, and it's like,
what are you talking about, Jimmy
and
Hendrix?
Then he got on those, yeah, and then he got on those drugs, man, and it's like he was in another world. These cats cannot play like this guy right now.
Oh yeah, Jimi Hendrix was a different breed, but once he hit those
but
drugs,
he had learned all his musical styles. You understand? Before he started taking drugs, then he started taking drugs, and then went to another level.
Yeah,
you know, he's opening gates, you know. But I got sad news that my wife, she's going to have hip surgery. And ain't no doubt about it, you know. And we was coming back from the hospital when we was talking to the doctors and stuff, and somebody side swiped us. Almost, you had us had a bad accident on the highway. You know, you had people be having a spirit thinking they can drive a car and text at the same time. Yeah, but what I wanted to get on the subject was this mental illness and demon possession. I have been seeing this and noticing this when I'm going in stores and things like that. You know, people just getting in arguments with people for nothing, and people, you know, it's like they letting these people out the psycho wards and stuff, and they're in the stores, and, you know, they're talking to you, and, you know, okay. So the other day, the day after that happened, where the person signs, what we was in a storm, we was like in the suburbs. It's all Caucasian, you know what you saw. So there's this one brother, he in there. So he's walking, and he's walking towards me. He starts talking about music, you know. And it's like, I don't know who this guy is. He's talking, he's back there. So he goes up to the counter. So he's up there at the counter with his girl, his wife, I don't know what. But anyway, he's up there, and he's picking up this thing, you know, this garden tool, which you call HOE. He said, look what I got. I got my HOE. And then, by the way, my HOE is paying for this. Then he goes and talks to the lady across the hall, next cash register over there. She's way over there with her husband called Kay. Hey, are you a HOE? Then he turns and he starts talking to my wife. I said, hold on, brother. I said, we're Christians here. We believe in the higher. And you don't know my wife. You don't know me. And please, you know, just say, do your transaction and go. I'm sorry. I said, sir, just do your transaction and go in peace and have a blessed day, okay? And I'm like, this dude, he didn't know us from a man on the moon.
See, and it's like the guy, what, he knew what I was. I tell you what, for the name of the Most High, bound that spirit and put him in subjection. And don't forget, I said years ago when they were pushing the jabby jab, it doesn't make any sense. That once they allow people to go back out, we're going to see a lot of inordinate, strange behavior amongst the populations that have taken this particular experimental drug. That we're going
to see
more criminality,
I'm about to tell you about one.
More psychosis, more arguments, more unexplained domestic abuse scenarios, more molestations, more abuse.
Yeah.
I told everyone that this particular thing that they were doing with the COVID vaccine, that the letter people are going to celebrate and push it because it's going to mean more chaos. It's going to mean more trauma, which leads to more people turning to the other sexes or whatever the case might be. And now look at where we are, but go on. A highly demon possessed.
Just what you're saying about that shot right there. I was over there with the keyboard player, and just on the next street, this woman got mad at her boyfriend because he was leaving her. She took the car and crushed this guy on the concrete steps and killed him. Then somebody else there was going down the street, and they had the guy, he was getting his keys out the car, and the woman dragged it down the street. Not too far from each other, same day.
Hey, brother, this is where it's going. Isaiah, the third chapter, when it goes into the second and third chapter, we're coming to a point where, especially the women, the daughters of Zion, it lets us know that they're going to go into panic mode, especially when men begin to check out altogether and don't want anything to do with nothing outside of an agreeable woman, and we're close, that is going to come a time where women are going to be outright killing men. And guess
we
what?
Can
the
just
government,
go back to...
Listen, and the government is going to allow it because the only thing they're going to need is a convenient explanation. And I'm going to tell you, people are going to have to get their cameras ready and record it and all that, but there are going to be many unexplained deaths. Sisters are going to be killing brothers. And that's in scripture.
Yeah.
That's part of the psychosis. When men say that I'm going to leave you, I'm not dealing with it no more. Like, I have on video where women are saying, listen, you ain't going anywhere, this, that, and the other. And it says, listen, I'll call the cops on you. Not only will I call the cops on you, by the way, I'll tell them you touched my children. So I'm going
to
tell you.
That happened to me one time when I was out of this country playing music. Put me in jail.
That's a built-in threat, to threaten a man with the authorities. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to happen. The Bible tells you there's going to be a lack of men. Women are going to be killing men, especially in a time when there's no one taking care of women. And with the government seeking to do what? Not subsidize them going forward. So the money's going to dry up, evictions are going to go up, and men, at the same time, men are checking out. And women are going to say, well, listen, you're my survival. And if you dare leave, okay, women aren't going to be threatening men. They're just going to be taking care of business. Watch what I say.
Well, I can just say one
thing. And guess what? And sisters got to watch out. Because if you have sons, your sons are in a world of trouble with the next generation. Because these aren't the women that we grew up with, our mothers and grandmothers.
No.
Okay. If you have sons, you better let them know they're in a world. They're in for a world of trouble if they don't navigate rightly. If they navigate out of the spirit and not walk as a man who understands what's going on this earth, guess what? These women are going to take your sons out. I'm telling you, it's scripture. But I'll go into that next week. But go on.
Okay, but you know, it's like we've been seeing that. We saw something happen in Chicago where this woman said, go to the car. The boy comes back and shoots this guy dead in Chicago. And they fighting over in the store about some chicken. I've seen that, you know. But finally, I'm just going to let you go. When Torrance comes over there in Philadelphia, I'll come up there the same time.
Okay, absolutely. I've been in the middle of transition, and I had to get back with Torrance, but there's a lot I want to roll out as far as big gathering that I want to put together in Atlanta, and it's going to be live music, truth music from those who are in the truth, live band, as well as Israelite fashion, and I'm going to do it either this year or early next year in Atlanta. And I'm going to get with y'all with it because we, you know, we need to
buy things.
Okay,
we can do it.
It's going to be nice. All right. Okay.
It'd be beautiful.
Because I want to get people together before it's all over, you know, and on top of that, you know, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet like we've never blown it before. So what better way to get people together than through the music used on the righteous side of things, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, my brother.
Bring in. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but that blessed day.
Bless you, brother.
Bless Saturday.
All right.
Shalom on.
Bless you. Shalom on. All right. We have 18 minutes before the lines close. So if you have something to say, now is your time. 205 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself? How are you?
I'm elated. You just said something that I've been praying about. I'm so grateful to hear you guys are coming down to Atlanta, and you're going to give us the opportunity to, you know, celebrate and praise the Most High. But I wanted to kind of chime in. I try not to call too much, but sometimes I'm just thankful to have the time. I wanted to respond to, you know, one thing with Jada, because a lot of us grew up watching her, and I know from listening to her, her mom had a lot of drug abuse or what have you, and I don't know if that was the doorway. And one thing that when their kids were small, Will would always be kissing his son in the mouth. And I'm just like, why is he doing that? So a lot of things both of the parents did was just kind of really strange. But my question is that, and I was one of the people that you helped me, and I just thank God all the time. I took myself off this medication, and I kept asking God, like, why did it have such an impact? But just like you were telling the lady yesterday, when you go to the doctor, you really do have to be wise. I don't know what they do with our blood work, because everything was fine. The doctor didn't know I took myself off, but then I made a mistake. When she said, okay, how your medicine is going, I said, oh, well, I don't take it anymore. I talk too fast. And then she said, oh, no, you can go into a coma. And it's so funny you say, is it psychology? I'm not sure what's the terminology, but it got in my head. So I was like, oh, wow, maybe I should go back and take it. And I know for a fact, but I didn't think about it could be a demon, because I thought if you was a believer and you're praying the word, you know, that demons couldn't possess you or come in, but they call it brain fog. So now I'm learning that for every word, they come up with a synopsis. But like you said, you have to go back to the Bible, and it's like the Lord had me just praying the scriptures. So I stopped that taking it. Then I can hear again. I can hear the Lord's voice. It was, and I just said, Lord, I won't ever do that again. So my question is, when you've been told you need the stuff to live and you come off of it, do you just kind of need to stay away? Do I need to stay away and don't even go back for the checkups or anything, you know, to make sure, well, like, the blood pressure is okay and all of that?
Well, the whole thing is this, okay? For myself, I only go to the doctor's office for acute situations like it used to happen when I was sick. Okay, like it used to be when my four parents came up, when we were sick. Women are more proactive because why? They're the more emotional, and on top of that, they're the more careful. So they like to get in front of it before there is a diagnosis, and sometimes that can work against you, especially when the drug or the pharmaceutical apparatus became privatized for-profit business. Which means they're in the business of sicknesses. So if they can drive you to come every year seeking something preventive, they're incentivized to find something wrong and to keep you under a drug. So it's up to you whether or not it makes you comfortable going to a doctor's office or whatever the case is, because I'm sure there's some positives in there. But myself, if I'm not sick, I don't need a doctor. That's number one. Number two, for myself, I can see how someone trusting doctors worked against them. And I can see it. Even with my immediate family, I can speak about what happened with my mother and everything. It doesn't matter what I was saying. She still trusted her doctors. All right? And one day, I thank the Most High that I've given her, living 5 extra years by getting her off the drugs. She was about to die when I came back. But all in all, she trusted her doctors explicitly, and it's more a psychological thing than anything. So just like the power of suggestion, when the doctor said, oh, something could happen to you, she can't guarantee that something is going to happen to you. You were fine mentally and otherwise until she said that. And that's part of the psychological control through sorcery or pharmacy. I don't need a doctor when I'm not sick. Okay? To me, it's counterproductive and it's ridiculous. Okay? Now, when it comes to my blood work and all that other stuff, my blood work is fine because I feel fine. All right? That's me. That's me. I can't say for you, whatever make you comfortable, but I'll tell you, look at Truman Burst. Truman Burst is 85 years old, 83 years old. And guess what? He'll tell you he haven't been to a hospital or doctor in decades. Decades. Using natural herbs. Because the natural herbs keep your blood clean, keep your blood levels good, keep your blood pressure straight. Drinking a lot of water, healthy dieting, and living a clean life is all you need outside of an emergency. If you get cut, you need stitches. If your bone breaks, you need a cast. Outside of that, everything else can be regulated with a healthy lifestyle system.
I appreciate it always. And it's funny because that's exactly what was happening, and I had to take an exam. They were so difficult. But because I had come off that medication again, I could think clearly, because it was like when I was taking it, I couldn't articulate what I was thinking. I was just like, this can't be godly. But I appreciate you, because that's what you keep telling. And it's like we're in a time now, we have to be able to hear God's voice, you know, the Most High, higher, because we have to be able to navigate. And I do have a son, but he always tells me, like, Mama, you can't trust these women. And I have to, like, take myself out of it and say, okay, I understand. He's like, no, I'm not dealing with it. No. And I said, well, not all of them. We're going to just pray. Most High can give you one. And he said, okay, that was your generation. So, but it's so true. And I pray.
Well, let me say this, because I got to get to the next one, right? I got to get the next call. But let me say this. Yes, you have to trust in the Most High, but you have to trust your personal experiences and experiments also knowing yourself. You know what yourself is without it, and you know how you feel with it. There's something to be said about you knowing yourself to know whether or not something is helping or harming you. So with your self experience that you've gone through, okay, with your self experience that you've gone through, sister, it tells you that that stuff is working counter to a healthy lifestyle for yourself. So listen to yourself. Trust who you are. Trust who the Most High is in you, but trust who you are. Know how you, if I get sick every time I take something, I'll know, common sense will tell me that's poison. And there's no Jedi mind trick anywhere from a doctor can tell me long term it's good for me when every day my body is saying it isn't. Listen to yourself. Okay?
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you gotta trust yourself. 9 minutes before the calls close. 9 minutes before the call close. Someone please tell me why they're allowing Jada Pickett and others to groom our children into drug use without any pushback. And if a man were to do that, what would the news and media be saying? Right? Check this out. This is a doctor threatening Kanye West with the sunken place. Either you follow what we're saying and the handler's saying and get on board with the industry, or we're going to medicate you to zombie land. We'll commit you, claim you crazy. Now, these are sorcerers, folks, trusted so-called doctors. They want to medicate you every day. Why? Because there's a demon attached to it. Indirectly, you're being controlled by the satanic overlords who control industry and government. Then it will be a built-in scenario. You notice conveniently when they can no longer control one of their influences, that person conveniently dies of an overdose after being deemed crazy by media. So the drug and medication is a key tool, component for the hunter, for the wicked to control a society all the way to the grave, literally. If you don't follow what they're saying, you're under the control of the medication or the drug, and eventually they'll use the same drug to demonize you and or kill you. That's why it's best to be dependent. independent from it altogether. Fair use. He made a bargain with the devil to get where I am now. I don't know how I got to write those songs. He don't even know what inspired him to write the songs. He was under the hallucinogens and drugs, and Satan gave him the words. Listen. Listen to this. He say, try to sit down and write something like that, the hollowed horn, which is Pan. He don't even remember writing the song, folks. I'm going to have to do a part two on this to show you the thing with drugs, why they're pushing mental illness and psychiatry at the same time they're pushing cancer and all these physical and mental drugs at the same time while doing what? Laying the groundwork to bring forth an antichrist society, a new world order with a world of servants, serving Satan as their God on earth. Folks, there's no coincidence. It's best not to be on drugs altogether either way. That's right, folks. It's the skeleton key. It's the key that unlocks everything between the dark world and Satan's servants. Folks, they don't like me talking about this. When you're not on drugs, you're free. You're no longer controlled. Let's go down the line 3 minutes before the lines close. 205. 205. Okay, let's go down the line. 228.
Shalom, Elder Lawyer. I'm sorry, Shalom, Elder Rekar Shiar. This is Brother Hayes.
Shalom,
son of Judah,
sir. Son of Judah, how are you?
All right, all right. It's been a long time since I've been able to talk to you, but I'm using my daughter's phone. Elder, I believe the reason why they're not allowing Will Smith to come under fire and allowing Jada Pinkett to get away with what they're getting away with the children is because they probably are part of the establishment. And Will Smith ain't doing what Kanye West is doing and out in the establishment, the gatekeepers and stuff like that. But if he was to go ahead and try to outfilm, they'll probably throw him under the bus. And the reason why they throwing him under the bus is because he's not like us, regular folks, who's trying to, you know, come out and tell the truth about what's going on and stuff like that, because we're not a part of the establishment and a part of their club. I mean, that's what I think.
That's interesting.
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's interesting. Because what you're saying is maybe Will Smith at this point, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at this point, Will Smith is compromised to a degree. If he wanted to say something, he can't. And Jada knows this.
Because all
that we know that's wrong with their children will be placed on him.
Exactly. And the influence and tools
free,
that they have.
Yeah, well, it could be more than influence. It could be, you know, it could be something that's not normally readily accepted in our society.
Con.
Don't forget, brother, being gay is acceptable until society uses it to weaponize or demonize who they're going against.
Exactly.
See, being gay and free liberally to do sex and all that, with even homosexuals saying they're going to come after your children, which is molestation, they ain't saying nothing about it. It's a regular, normal thing for them until they're willing to use it to destroy someone.
Exactly,
so,
Elder.
Hey,
Elder.
Wait, go ahead,
Elder. Could you imagine, okay, like your influence and your pull for the kingdom of the Most High and how you're pulling a brick out of the devil's system, right? And that's why they keep on blocking you and all that, because of the truth you're getting out. Can you imagine what would happen if Will Smith turned around and tried to do that? They would try to demolish him, because Jada Pinkett, Will Smith, and their kids influence the next generation of people, you know? So
Exactly.
Elder, it's a lot of what you're doing. All praises to the Most High. We're grateful to be members of the body of Christ Church, Moss Point, Mississippi, body member. All praises to the Most High, Elder. And Thawad again for what y'all did for my mama.
All right. Any day, brother. I'm here for you. Do me a favor. I need you to do me a favor. Change the battery in your smoke detector.
Con. Will do. Thawad,
right.
Elder. All praises to the Most High. Shalom.
All right, bless you. All right.
Bless you.
Bless you. How many of you remember this? How many of you remember this? 6 degrees of separation, fair use. This is him pushing the agenda. 6 degrees of separation when he was caught in bed with who? I'm sorry about that. I didn't know he was going to say that. That's him saying he wanted to deal with this guy and he kissed this guy. I'm going to keep it silent and I want you to see a public initiation before the elite. Now, a lot of y'all don't know this, but according to the Masonic initiatives, you'll always see a horse and buggy with an angel carrying its host into a realm. Look at this. Look. Will Smith, 1993, folks. 1993. Him kissing a man in a horse and buggy. Man, such a talent. Brother from Philadelphia. Will, oh my goodness. Brother. You don't have to. Repent. 386 going down the line.
Hello?
386. Shalom.
Hello? Hi, Shalom, Elder.
Hello? How are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me? Okay, I called you last night. You asked me to call back today.
Yeah, so you were telling me real quick, leaving off from where you were last night, that they were trying to force your daughter to get vaccinated while she was in the hospital. After leaving the hospital, you went to the doctor's office and began to tell them that you don't want to deal with the vaccinations They were selling you from the hospital to the doctor's office. And then you said you began to argue, not argue, but make a case of some of the ill effects or adverse events that could happen to the vaccination. And then the unspoken happened. They began to come at you. Did they call CPS?
Yes, sir.
Give me your story from that point.
All right. So my daughter and the grandbaby came home. The baby probably wasn't 2 weeks old when one day I was leaving a meeting, my daughter, because my daughter lives with us, and she called me and was like, "Mom, you need to hurry up and come home because CPS is at the front door." And I'm like, "For what? Like, I don't understand why would they be at the door?" She said, "Well, the CPS worker says that I had morphine in my system when I gave birth, and it was in the baby's umbilical cord, so they think I was taking morphine while I was pregnant." Well, I was like, "Well, that makes no sense, because we both know you wasn't going to take the morphine. You was living with us the entire time. Like, are you kidding me?" So I rush home, and the CPS worker is outside. And I don't want to be discriminatory, Elder. I promise you. I don't hate anybody. Anybody's lifestyle is their lifestyle. But the person that was at my front door was of the letter people.
You mean it was a gay man or gay woman?
Gay man at the front door.
And let me tell you this. This is what they're using. Hold up. Let me set this for those who weren't in the broadcast last night, right? To show you how the system is working together to try to take our children. The daughter requested some painkillers during the time she was delivering a baby. Her daughter, right? Your daughter had a baby girl, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They didn't want the vaccinations, but during the time of her delivery, the daughter requested something for the pain. They gave the daughter morphine before delivering the baby. So obviously there would be morphine in the sister's bloodstream.
Yes, sir.
Right?
I'm
talking to them so they can get this before I roll it over. I'm going to get them up to speed.
Yes, sir.
The family denied the vaccinations. The baby's fine, 100% healthy. She goes to the doctor's office. Then the doctor's office wanted to push the vaccine. She said no. And then after they leave the doctor's office, the baby's still healthy now. The CPS, an entirely different department, comes to the home and says, "Your daughter was on morphine, and we found morphine in the umbilical cord, which makes you an unfit mother because you was on drugs at the time you were pregnant." And they use a gay man through CPS to come after the child. Go on.
So the CPS, my daughter said to me over the phone before I got home, "Ma, he was trying to make me open the door and leave my baby alone with him to go do a urinalysis. They was forcing her to do a urinalysis, but she refused to do anything until I got home." So I get home and he tells her, "Well, we just need to make sure that her urine is clean, that she's not on morphine, and that nothing, no drugs is being used right now." So I say, "Listen," because they tell me, "Oh, well, we're not going to close the case until we get a urinalysis on her." So, okay, we go and we get her to do a urinalysis. Of course, it comes back clean because she's not been in any drugs. So then after that is, we need to go and see where the baby is living at in the house. Can we come in? "No, you can't come in my house." "Absolutely not, because that's not what you came to my house for originally. You came because allegedly there was morphine in the baby's umbilical cord when allegedly she was born." Which makes sense because they gave it to her an hour before they delivered the baby. All of that went on, and the urinalysis came back clean and everything. The CPS worker himself said to me, "Oh, well, by the way, yeah, they did drug test her when she went into the hospital, and her urine was clean. So why were you at my front door again?" But I know it was because the doctor, because while we were in the hospital, the 5 days that we were there, Elder, I'm not lying to you, over 10 people came into her hospital room. Like throughout the 5 days asking, why was she not going to give the baby the vaccine?
Look at that. A straight assault. I'm glad you were courageous enough. A lot of our sisters would have broke through this. They would have broke already. And y'all stood against adversity, against Satan's ministers. And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this real quick, right? Oh, man, this makes me so upset. I'm going to tell you this right now. Why would they want to harm a child like this? And this is why, brothers and sisters out there, CPS have always been the strong arm for government. Strong arm for government against our people. They come in and they threaten our people with CPS when our women in particular refuse to go against what? The status quo. When you're not toeing the line, they bring in CPS. And one thing has to be corrected in our community too. Because we also know that CPS can be weaponized if you have a problem with a neighbor. If someone has an issue with you, they'll call and lie and say there's molestation or something going on, a person isn't feeding their child, to get you under investigation as a form of get back. So I don't trust CPS. Not to say that CPS, believe it or not, CPS have come in many times and helped children out of serious situations. So I'm not going to downplay when they're used for why they were actually created. But all in all, they've weaponized CPS to a point where no one trusts it anymore. So let me ask you, have the case been closed?
Yes, they closed the case the very same day. I spoke to the gay guy that came to the house. I talked to his supervisor on the phone. And when they wanted to test her for the urinalysis, he had already had like one of the cups that they used. I made him go throw that one away and do a brand new one. I had him open it in front of me. I took pictures and videos of him doing it, Elder. And then once she took the urinalysis, I had him give it back to me so I could throw it in my garbage can. I didn't want any room for error.
Look at that. Sister, I'm glad you did that because he wasn't there for your analysis. He was there to get in, to find something to justify taking the child.
Yes.
He needed to find something to justify separating the child from the mother.
From the hospital, Elder. They was upset because we didn't do the vaccine, so they sent CPS after us.
Well, listen, keep your guard up. It isn't over. Every place your child go, when checkups and everything, your grandbaby, believe me, all of the paperwork and background of your daughter and you denying the vaccine is on record now. And
yes, sir.
If you go into you go into another doctor's office. When you go to a school, try to enroll them. Whatever you go, all that data is going to come up because really all of these institutions are vaccination distribution centers.
Yes.
They set it up that way. So just be careful and stay on guard. And, hey, your daughter better not slip. If she slips for a moment, they're taking that child. And when they give that child back, every vaccination from birth will be administered when they get an opportunity to separate that child from your daughter. Best believe.
Yeah, doesn't go to no doctor's appointments or anything without me. I'm there for everything, Elder, because I want to make sure I continue to educate her on what to expect from this wicked society.
Good. There should be more mothers like you. Bless you. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Elder.
I needed that end of that.
Yes, sir.
It's always good to hear good news at the end of it. And stay diligent. All right, Shalom.
Yes, sir.
All right. Look at that. 574 area code going down the line. Were you already on 574? Yeah. 507.
Shalom, Elder. This is Auntie B.
Hey, Auntie B.
I don't know what to call this. At first, I was calling it saying that she had Alzheimer's dementia, but when I listened to another program that you had, you were saying about demonic possession, and you were saying about the uncleanliness.
When you're saying her, who are you speaking of in particular?
My mother-in-law.
Okay, now you spoke about this before, if I can recall.
Oh, goodness. It's got to be a lot worse, a lot worse. Things have come out now that That's unbelievable. Now,
when you say things have come out, that's vague. What do you mean?
When my husband was a child, it was said that him and his brother were poisoned when he was a baby. Now it comes out that
by
his
who?
Brother wasn't poisoned. They were saying that her mother did it and his sister did it. But then it come to find out his mother, his grandmother, his mother is saying this. But it was saying he was talking to his brother about it, and he was saying he don't recall any of that ever happening. He don't recall him being poisoned, and his brother
okay,
a couple of years
older. Okay, who's saying this? Sister, you need to be clear of, okay, who's saying who got
okay,
poisoned?
I'm trying to get this out before either one of us. I had to go outside my house.
Okay, because we're on a broadcast, sister. I need clear, definitive
okay.
information.
Okay, I got you. I
not
got
in
you.
Parts. Who's saying what?
Okay. My husband was poisoned when he was a baby. His mother
according
is saying
who?
That her mother, if this is facts, they were taken away from his mother when they were little, when he was a baby. I think he was like maybe a year old. They were taken away. They were poisoned. He was in the hospital.
According
he almost died.
Who?
He was poisoned.
Sister, let me ask you a direct question. Who told you they were poisoned?
She said they were poisoned. He said they were poisoned.
Who is she? Their mother?
His mother. His mother, yes.
Okay, so where is the demonic part coming in?
I'm getting to it all. She's saying her mother has mental health issues, and she was in some kind of place, facility. Now, it's coming out here now.
You mean a psychiatric ward?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, go on.
Now, it's like I was saying, she was saying that her mother, his mother, was saying that her mother poisoned him. But when we speak to his brother was like, no, their grandmother didn't do it. They believe that their mother did poison him when he was a baby because she had gotten pregnant by another man and was trying to put it on the man that she was with. So here it is today. Well, not today.
Okay, let's stop for a second.
Ago.
Stop for a second. Hold up. Let's go back. The other brother says that, no, it wasn't the other
it wasn't
person.
The grandmother. It wasn't,
it
the,
wasn't
grandmother,
the grandmother.
It wasn't the
hold
sister.
Up. Listen. Hold up. Sister, let me, because when you speak, you disrupt my thought.
Okay.
Let me, I'm trying to clear it up because it's not fully clear here. So let me clear it up and then we can go. It wasn't the grandmother.
Okay.
The other brother says it was the mother because she tried to put the baby on someone else that wasn't
yes.
the father. So,
yes.
okay, so if you're trying to put it on someone else who isn't the father, why would poisoning the children be the solution?
Because she was with one man that she was in love with, and she went and snuck around and had relations with another man and got pregnant. So she was
and
sleeping
who said
with two
that?
Men at the same time.
The other son.
The other son said this.
And what proof do that son have of that?
Because she was saying that she was pregnant with the one man. And the son recalled.
That ain't what I'm asking you. What proof do the son have that she did that?
Well, for years he was being told that one man was his father. And up until he was a teenager, not even a teenager, until he was 21, then she told him that he was not his father.
Okay,
and
now these are two separate. Hold up, sister. These are two separate things. Her telling a man, a boy grown, that that's not his father, isn't saying that she's the one who attempted to poison her children. Will these two come together?
This is what I'm trying to tell you. The brother, older brother, said that the mother was the one that had the pills and did it. She got hold of
it. I know that. But here's the part that we are missing. in this story. He's saying something, but isn't saying where he's getting this information from. Or based on the story of him being someone else's son, he's speculating that his mother could have done this.
No, he's saying the mother was the only one who could have did it because the mother was the only one who had access to making the baby bottles. The mother, the grandmother was nowhere around.
Sister, how would he know this as a baby? Who told him this?
No, he wasn't a baby. This is the older brother.
So the older brother Sister, hold up.
Yeah, he said he saw some things. He said he saw some things, but he really didn't put two and two together. This is why I'm saying here a couple of weeks ago, it was a statement that she made to lead us to believe.
Sister, listen to me. I'm going to let you roll. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you. You have to realize if I don't come in and bring this together, there is no getting to the bottom of what you're trying to actually convey. If you would have said, all due respect to you on how you explain things, but if you would have said, the brother said that it didn't happen the way the mother said it because he's seen her poison the baby. That could have been all of 1 minute.
Okay, got you. I understand, got you.
So is that what happened? Did the child see
his
mother poison?
Yes, he's seen his mother
poison
pills in the bottle. Now, brings it to a couple of weeks ago. She's mad at the older son because of some stuffed animals she had. He threw them away saying that she didn't need them anyway. And so we told her that her animals got threw away and that the older son threw them away. She said, well, I wonder how he would like it if I poisoned his kids.
Okay.
And
let's do it like this. Okay, now it's coming together. Now that you said that, right?
Right.
That obviously. All right. So how old is she and how old are her children?
I'm not sure how old the older brother is, but my husband's 47.
Okay, these are grown men, 47 years of age.
Yeah, he's a grown.
How
yep,
old
they're
is
grown? The
grown
mother
men,
is 77.
And she's 77. She's almost 80 years of age.
Yes.
And does she live with them?
Yes, she lives in my home. And this is another part that I want to get to. This is part that I want to get to.
I'm going to let you get there.
But
did you hear her say, what if I poisoned your children? And when did she say that?
I got it on recording. I recorded it. Because if anything was to happen to us in here, people will automatically have her as suspicion.
Okay. I need you to work with me here. Just answer what I'm saying so I can help you.
Okay.
Okay, you have someone who threatened to poison someone in the house, and we have a house full of adults who come together and haven't done something about that already.
The brother doesn't live with us, just my mother-in-law.
That ain't what I asked you, sister.
Okay.
You have someone who openly, with the recording, threatened to poison someone.
Mm-hmm.
And we have nothing but adults here who haven't come to a consensus that this might be a problem and didn't bring a solution to this.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the solution, sister, for you and your husband?
I don't know right now. I can't really talk because he just came outside.
Okay, well, you can't talk about it. I'm going to put you on hold. But, sister, you and your husband should have a conversation on what you need to do.
Away.
If you have a – no, don't worry about it. No. I'm not the one you need to be speaking to. Speak to your husband. Speak to your husband and get it together, because that's where it's going at. If you talking to me and hiding from him with something that needs to happen isn't going to solve the issue. If there's demon possession or someone threatening people,
he don't know what to do.
I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about the adults in the house.
That's what I'm saying. She don't know what to do.
Sister, she's living with you and your husband, right?
Yep.
So the adults in the house right now, outside of the elderly woman who's threatening to poison people, are you and your husband?
Yes. But he doesn't know what to do about it.
There's nothing I can say. He's the man of the house.
Yeah. But I just wanted your opinion on what you think about her, because I think she's kind of...
Sister, listen. You know more about her than I do. And the analysis based on what you're saying or the outlook is crystal clear. There's nothing that I can say about it that you don't know about it already. Okay? The bottom line is you and your husband have to come to a consensus with someone in the house claiming, stating on a recording, that if things doesn't go away, her options are to poison people.
Okay.
I wouldn't need to know what happened to them two as babies to come to some level of to come to a solution.
Yeah.
So you living in a house with it doesn't threaten me at all. So I feel for you and your husband, but I believe that y'all need to go kick into self-preservation here and understand that there must be options considered under these circumstances. But only you and your husband can come to that consensus. If I have to tell you what to do, that's deep in of itself.
Okay.
All right? Love you. But it's time for the adult to do adult things. All right? I don't want to read about anyone in the news. All right?
Oh, you're not going to read about me. I can trust me. I leave first.
All right. Oh. Well, sister, talk to your husband. All right?
Okay.
My sister, bless you.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. It's rough out here, I'll tell you, because we have a lot of things we have to grow through in our communities, getting through these curses, coming to the knowledge of the Most High. And I can tell she's struggling with this thing. But, you know, and I feel for Annie B, who don't love Annie B, but what can I do? I can pray for you, but at the end of the day, someone has to step up. Or the spirit that's so-called in this woman moves to destroy more people. Okay? And if it was me, I would say, well, listen, this has nothing to do with what happened when they were children. We're talking about 50 years ago. Okay. I'm not even dealing with that. But if you threaten to poison me in my home where I'm paying bills, all right, excuse me. We need to discuss some alternative shelter. All right. 404 area code.
Hey, Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh man, I was just listening in. I was going to mention about the whole Jada Pinkett thing, but yeah, I mean, if the woman is 77 years old, I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
That's kind of like a simple solution. If the woman is 77 years old, unless she's walking around with a syringe while you guys are sleeping, just never drink after her and never eat her food. It's very simple. But let me get on to the...
Brother, listen. I don't like to give solutions to where solutions are evident. The bottom line is, if someone is threatening you in your home who has a history of poisoning people, and the most we can do is talk about it with other people, there's other underlying scenarios there that need to be addressed.
Mm. Right.
This is why we allow destruction to continue to have a place in our homes, and there's no one to blame. If some poison go down, God forbid, and someone get harmed, who's really to blame in this? The person who said that she was going to poison someone, or the people who allow poison to happen?
Right.
So it really comes down to this situation is deeper than poison. It's allowing spirits to fester, which continue to feed generational curses.
Right.
At the end of it. But go on. What say
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so, just dealing with the whole Jada Pinkett thing with the psychedelics. And I also sent you over, like, what psyche means, kind of as an offshoot. So it's, like, psychedelics, ayahuasca, psilocybin, are very prevalent in California and Colorado. I'm from California.
Okay.
Reason why they're pushing them so hard as of late is because it's kind of like people in general, unfortunately, in this pacified era in which we all share in the West, right? Want six-pack abs without having to do the work. So we all are spiritual individuals. Why? Because we are leasing our spirit from the Almighty, which is why we cannot sell our spirit, but we can sell our soul. There's a difference between the two. So when it comes down to psilocybin or ayahuasca or any type of psychedelic drug, we're wanting to connect with a higher power, right, without having to do the work. Why? We cannot connect to the Almighty via the Holy Spirit if we are in the nature of sin, because the Holy Spirit cannot reside in the vessel that holds sinful nature. So I think what's happening is people are wanting to venture into shortcuts and feel this level of all lovingness with everyone, or feel empathetic to others, when we can do these in a very natural regard, so as long as we're righteous, living underneath the constraints of the law, statutes, and commandments of the Almighty. However, we can't sin in order to do that.
Okay, good point. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing I just want to throw in here, too, with psyche, so psychology, big word, right? Everyone uses it, mental health disorder. Psyche is actually a Greek word. It comes from G5590. Psyche means soul. Ology means study. So it means study of the soul. So I just find that very interesting. I have a therapist. I broached that to her. She was not a religious person. I said, how can you not be a religious person when you literally have associated 4 years of your doctorate and you're a psychologist when the very nature of what you're studying is the study of the soul, which is spiritual? So I just wanted to end with that.
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to look into that, my brother. Bless you. I really appreciate it.
All right, absolutely. All right, Shalom. It's G5590. You can check that out.
Okay, I will definitely look at that. That's interesting in of itself. Thank you.
All right.
And I believe it's interesting in of itself because psychology, if it is, according to what the brother is saying, study of the soul, it's really studying characteristics of individuals, studying what makes us tick, how we react to certain circumstances. And guess what? It could have some positive angles if it was their objective to actually help us. But it can work in the reverse. Psychology can convince people to harm themselves, which makes it a very, very evil, evil science. Thank you, Trent. We have two more calls, 770 area code. Quite interesting take. 770
Hello?
Area code. Bless you. How are you?
I'm well. I'm not sure if it's me that you're speaking to. I'm Elder Ricard?
It's you I'm speaking to. How are you?
Okay. I'm well. Great. First of all, I just want to say that I've been listening to you and JLCC for the past 6 years. I followed my son into the group.
Praise the Almighty.
It's just a blessing for my life, the safety and security that I feel with being under the guidance of the church.
Praise the Most High.
So I'm 69, and I haven't been to a doctor in over 20 years. I haven't been ill, thank God. I did have COVID, but I took the right herbs for that and got better.
Great.
And
COVID in of itself is something new. Coronavirus,
yes,
in a nutshell, is nothing but the common cold. But I digress.
Right. Right. And so last month, on the 22nd of May, I suffered a stroke. I'm still working.
Okay.
Working for local
government. Sorry to hear that.
I suffered a stroke and...
Just a minute.
Was rushed to the hospital. I was there for 3 days where they did all types of intensive tests. Brain tests, mostly. And took all kinds of blood, like 3 times a day they were taking my blood. And finally I refused them because the young man came in with 9 vials. He couldn't even carry them. He was dropping them on the floor. And I said, what, and my veins were already purple. So I said, what are you about to do? And he says, I need more blood 3 times a day for 3 days. So I turned it, I refused it. And so he says, well, this is my job. And I said, well, I'm refusing. So he said, I said, what are the tests for? What are the tests for? He says, well, what did he say? It's from the tip of my tongue, some disease, lupus. But I'm here for a stroke. I had a stroke. And honestly, I could not move. I couldn't dress myself. I could not tie my shoe. I couldn't do anything with the left hand for the first few days. And I knew it was a stroke.
Let me ask you, I understand, what was the result of it? What was the cause of the stroke? Were you on any level of medication at all?
No. But I do take a lot of vitamins. And the newest vitamin that I was taking was vitamin K. So one of the neurologists said to me that vitamin K by itself, not K2, but vitamin K, could cause congealing of the blood. So I said, well, this is the 4th day I had taken it, and that could be the problem. They said, well, you have passed the test. We see how healthy you are. And because you're so healthy, we are so concerned about what could have really caused this stroke. So we need to do more tests. They gave me a laundry list. Right. They had done everything in the hospital those 3 days, nonstop testing, around the clock. I didn't even get sleep. So to release me, they gave me pages of other – they also found that I was pre-diabetic. Okay. So now they're putting me on these meds. I've never been on meds.
I'll tell you what.
I refuse the meds.
Join 90% of the population of the earth. Because based on
how
they test for diabetes, everyone who's vitamin deficient is at some level of a lower level of a diabetic. So
that's
actually nothing to do about anything, but go on.
Exactly. So, I mean, I eat healthy. I eat vegetables and fruit every day. I exercise. I still skate with my grandkids. So they were like, so this is what puzzles me. They said it's probably, and we could bet that it's going to be your heart. Well, God healed me of a heart condition in my 20s that I was born with. I've not had heart I wasn't to have kids. I have 5. I was supposed to be dead by now. So I knew I was healed a long time ago. So I saw the devil playing his hand, talking about it's 99.9% going to be your heart. So they scheduled me to take this test on the 17th coming up. I'm also due back at work on the 17th. They tried this test where they stick the tube down your throat. They give you fentanyl, which they tried this in the hospital. It wasn't successful, so they rescheduled me to take it. I don't want to take it. And first of all, I don't like the drugs going in me, fentanyl, that. And they tried it in the hospital. I was supposed to have swallowed
Sister, what does fentanyl have to do with what's going on?
That's the drug of choice for them to knock me out. They thought
Sister, let me drop something on you here. You've already come to the consensus of what actually harmed you. And that's one thing about it's one thing about knowing your body and having full control of what you ingest or what you eat or whatever the case might be, because if something go wrong, that gives you the power to isolate the new vitamin or new drug or whatever you've eaten. You're able to isolate it now because you know yourself and you know exactly what your pattern and routine was on a regular basis until something new was added. So all of them going through these tests and say it might be this and might be that, worrying you and threatening you, what you don't know really is, what you don't realize, sister, in a nutshell, and I'm going to tell you this, you don't know on schedule what their quotas are when it comes to certain procedures, diagnosis, doctor's appointments, and you don't know what you're helping to fulfill on the corporate side of things through them worrying you. As long as they can get you coming through the doors. Yeah. So the whole thing is, I don't know what it is, but it's probably the heart. Well, it's probably the liver. Or let me check with lupus. They're getting paid for every test and everything they do. So it comes a time where you have to realize when enough is enough. If I isolated this new thing, which is vitamin K, I don't have nothing else, nothing to say to them outside of them stabilizing me from the acute issue I went in with.
So they have,
because obviously, sister, it only takes a small bit of fentanyl to actually have you OD or just take you out altogether. We're under a fentanyl crisis throughout the United States. And if something was to happen to you under fentanyl, they can easily explain that off, because before you have a surgery, you have to sign that they aren't liable with some of the risks, including one dying.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to malpractice, you must actually sign some paperwork to say that if I die on this table, these people who are responsible for telling me to come here isn't liable.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the truth. And I had to sign that day before I left the hospital when they did it, and it wasn't successful. So I'm scheduled to do it again. They have literally called me 17 times to try and get me to reschedule. So we finally did reschedule.
I can't tell you what to do. Neither will I. But you have to go with your conscience on this. Because you have to know when enough is enough, when things are going overboard.
Yeah,
it's up to you.
And they knew that I hadn't been seeing a doctor because they couldn't find anything in my files. They gave me a list of things you still need to take, all these vaccines, mammograms, all type of things that I refuse. So I'm going to refuse. I don't do that. I don't do doctors like that.
They're ready to catch you up. And usually, like I told this sister earlier, you have to watch, because if you slip up under Obama, under the so-called Obama plan, the only thing he did was make it easier to have all of our medical information isolated into one database where anyone can access throughout these institutions.
Yeah. The lady said to me, she said, so tell me about your mother. And I said, my mother, yes, Miss Johnson. My mother's been dead since 2011. I said, what are you talking about? She said she had strokes. I said, yes, my mother did have strokes.
The whole thing is this, sister. You see what we're saying, right? You see what this broadcast is.
Yes.
So the bottom line is, listen, we're dealing with sorcerers. We're dealing with witches and warlocks. And how better to get into your psyche than to trigger someone you've loved or cared for? This is what they do. They'll lie. They'll give a child a disease through a shot, and then blame it on the grandparents and say it just might be genetic. Someone asks me, well, tell me about your mother or tell me about your grandfather or whatever the case is. Now, they already know the background based on the databases on whether or not your father or mother is still here. So you can say, listen, all due respect, that ain't none of your business, okay? I'm not here for my mother or father or anything else. How can I help you? Okay?
Exactly.
Because I'm at the end of this. Okay? I'm at the end of this. Thank you for helping me out with the stroke. I isolated that it was a vitamin K. It does clog the blood under certain circumstances. That ain't something that people should take on a regular basis because it does clog the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Coagulate the blood, right? So the whole thing is you know, obviously being overcautious, you added something to your schedule that you shouldn't have added. That was isolated. You should be able to go on healthy with your life now that you isolated that. I think the more you expose yourself to this, I would say psychoanalysis of these people, they're going to convince you to do something you'll regret.
No, right, I'm getting on.
Right.
The bills have started rolling in. I go back to work. They'll, you know, approve me to go back to work. But I'm 69. I'm not going out like this on meds and all that. I'm not doing it. I'm not having that.
You live a long, strong, healthy life. And the more people on medications, I'm going to tell you what happens. Your quality of life will go down exponentially. And then you'll have the dependence on your children. That stuff ages you crazy immediately. And then you have all these other issues that now you will need institutions and hospitals and doctors if you get on those medications. So, sister, save yourself.
Yeah.
All right? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And
stay in prayer and stay healthy.
This is my 16th academy.
Thank you.
And I can't get enough of it. I'm so excited every academy. I tell everybody, listen, this is going to blow your mind when you finally do agree to get in here and listen.
Thank you.
I can't get enough of it.
You.
But I just thank you and the elders. My life has changed, and I'm just a blessed woman because of it, because I know the truth now, and it's just good.
Thank you. And we'll see you once I'm down there. I'll be coming to Atlanta soon. So you're in Atlanta, right?
Yes. So I got baptized a year ago. Deacon Lewis,
I'll be making
that for you.
Okay. All right. Bless you, sister.
Bless you.
And wait till Sunday. It's going to blow you away this Sunday. Okay. Bless you. Last call for today, 757 area code. And that concludes our broadcast. 757.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
How you doing?
And bless
this you. This is Brother Donye Yasharala from the Virginia Body.
Yes, sir.
And I listen to your broadcast, and I love that how you tied everything together, especially with the psychedelics, you know, the LGBTQ, and with these demons that's over it all. And this is really, how can you say it? This is very private that I really don't tell anybody, and I felt that I needed to say it, you know what I mean, because those psychedelics and demons are a direct, it's a direct portal into the other world. And before the truth, I was really into, like, the unseen, because I would have dreams a lot. I would dream every night. So I was always wondering, what about the daytime when I'm awoke? So that led me down a path of, reading a lot of astrology. And then it was like those smoke huts that you'll get those books from, or you get the smoke shacks or whatnot. Before that was real prevalent today, you'll have like one in one city. And this guy introduced me to this, it was a substance. It's called Salvia Devonori. Now, you can actually Google this, right? It's not in its own category of anything. It's not in no category. It's not a narcotic, a stimulant, a tranquilizer, or a sedative, or however you say that word. It's in its own category within its own thing. It can be found.
What's the name of it?
There in
What's the name of it?
Salvia Devonori. S-A-L-V-I-A.
Salvia what?
Devonori. You can put Salvia D. S-A-L-V-I-A, and just the letter D. This thing was illegal for about two years before they took it off the market. And I'm going to try that. Okay. I was introduced to the guy that actually worked there. He was like a little hippie guy. He knew he was like Woodstock. He was there. That's how he looked.
Okay.
And
all right, go on.
This guy, he showed me this, and he told me this was before the truth and all of that, probably 2008. And he was like, yeah, ask a question, and then smoke it and hold it in one tote, one pull, and blow out, and your answer will be, you'll get your answer. And I did it. And, oh, my goodness, the world, it was like, now, I ain't going to, this is the proper place to say, because this is what you talk about. Nobody never received me about this when I tell them this. They were like, oh, okay. But then, I know that y'all guys, you know what I mean, y'all really on top of these type of things. The world changed right in front of me, right?
Expand. What do you mean the world changed?
Okay. It was like if I was born an adult. I seen things from exactly for what it is, not from my how I'm recognizing it as growing up from a baby. I seen it from exactly
for
what it is.
As an example?
Like, everything I see, I started to understand everything on our surroundings is nothing but boxes and circles. Boxes and circles, boxes and circles, everywhere we at. And I understand we're inside this type of paradigm. We're inside this type of fabric of existence. Everything you see, you look around, it's boxes and circles. So I understood these things, and I seen it for exactly what it is, right? But I left my – now, I want to go too all crazy, but I did leave my body. I spoke to, like, you know what I mean, entities that was there that didn't seem like they were like what we read about or nothing. They were just like me and you. But I go on to say this, right, and I don't want to scare nobody or nothing, but you can look it up on Wikipedia. It tells you that it comes from the Mazatec mountains in Mexico, and the shamans use it to connect with spirits. They use it. This stuff was only legal for 2 years, and people would have stories about them leaving their body, visiting hell, visiting like different places they'd never been before, or going back to their dreams. And actually, I'm going to say like this. I had a disconnected from the world at one point in time and just stood in the house all day long. I just stood on the bed. And it was spirits connected to that. I would literally hear things, you know, and it would tell me stuff that I feel like I'm not supposed to know. And so I go on to say this.
A portal was open, but go on.
So, yeah, exactly. And that thing stuck. They did away with it. It scared me. I only do it like once a month. It scared the bejeebies out of me. But when it got illegal and I had no more left, I was still here then. I was still like, I can go into, in my mind, I can go and go back to the place of looking at it that way, how I seen it. I can look at it the way I seen it when I was on it, and then nothing left.
So in a nutshell, to quantify it, it's an alternative reality, but the experience is no different than you being able to recall your normal experience outside of that realm. So the whole deal is...
I'm going to make it more
better. Okay, go on.
I'm going to learn it more better than that. It is, it's like this. I seen the reality of where we're in. How we grow up to look at these things, what we register what things are, is fake. How I seen it, how in the real realm that this is, Earth is established, it looks totally different than what
do you think fake is the proper way, or a different perspective, how the spiritual realm sees this realm? Because where we are is real.
Yeah, it's
but it's
real.
A different view. It's a different viewpoint from depending on which side you're on.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so it isn't fake, but what you're saying is it's a different view from the spiritual realm looking into our realm. Now, before you do that, let me give some context to this. Because I did look it up, right? The show, and I'm doing this to show the danger. I'm glad and thank you, brother, for being able to share your experience, right?
Yes,
for sharing
your
experience, but this is what it's called, right? Now, what it says in particular, Salvia Divinorum, right? And I'm sure this is one of those leaves that are in the Voynich transcripts, manuscripts. It says, Salvia Divinorum, sage of the diviners in Latin, also called Scamir Pastoris, a seer sage. So usually the priest or the Chaldeans, the top sorcerers, would use this. Yerra da la Passera, and it's called magic mint, or simply salvia, is a plant species with transient psychoactive properties. When its leaves or extracts made from the leaves are administered by smoking, chewing, or drinking as a tea, the leaves contain the potent compound salvinorum and can induce a dissociative state and hallucinations, right? So the reality is subjective, which means it depends on one's experience of what those visions are. You've seen squares and circles or whatever the case is, but your reality also shapes how the inside is viewed from the outside. But I digress, and this is why it says hallucinations. Mazatec shamans have long and continuous religious traditions. Shamans are top demons. They're top demons. These are people who've given their body over to become hosts for demons to live in. Have long and continuous traditions of religious use, and this is why they've opened the floodgate up for shamans to come in from India and Asia over the corporations and over the majority of businesses within the United States as a takeover, right? Now listen to this. Western media panic in 2007 centered on reports of legal teenage use of the drug, a suicide, and a video sharing of drug use on the internet. So I guess they banned it when they realized it led to some people killing themselves. That's the danger of it. You're right? the door is open for you to see things that you couldn't normally understand or see in our reality. But eventually, the demon who's showing you all these places requires something. And usually, at the end of it, it's death. But go on. I'm at the end of it, but I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, they'll tell you that so you can stay there. And it's not nothing common, whoever does it. It's not uncommon for them to tell you that, so you can stay there. But I would like to say it's like, you know, the boxing circles I was referring to is like a square door, a square car, a circle of light, a square bed, a square house, a square street, a circle wheels. It was showing me different constructs of how this world is the fabric of it. But like, you're correct, though.
How it's constructed. It came with price. How it's constructed. Yeah,
how it's constructed. But you're correct, because it wasn't until it would go dormant after it got illegal and stuff, I would still feel that presence was there. And it'll go dormant when I'm having a good time or a good year. It'll go up high, go up and down. I was so unstable. But I'm going to tell you, though, it wasn't until I received the truth that all of these things have went away from me. And
look at
and
that.
Yes, I will go in the Sunday church. I try my best. I was listening to that Sunday pastor as hard as I can, and it'll still go dormant, come back up. But it wasn't until this truth, it stayed gone. Like, those spirits cling to you because they felt the investment they gave you, telling you stuff. So even if with the marijuana now, you know, I mean, that has a little bit to it, too, because you can get euphoria phase so high, you know what I mean, that I kind of felt like I was smoking salvia again. But all praise be to the Most High for this knowledge and this truth, you know, and look into it, because that plant is still around here lingering, and those elites gave it out to the public, knowing that what it would do. But I'm glad for this truth. I'm glad for healing. I praise the Most High for that experience. I don't regret it, but I do, I despise it. I don't regret it, but I despise it, but if that makes any sense. But, yes. It's a real thing. Those demons is real with their psychedelic stuff, you know.
Yeah. But one thing in particular before we go, I would like to say, blessings to the Almighty, Ahayah, in the name of Yeshaya, through the Holy Spirit, because really, at the end of the day, there is no shortcuts. And I thank the Most High that there's a fulfillment in the Spirit that we can get to understand what most of us are curious about without sacrificing our morality and our soul. Satan can only try to give you a shortcut, like the brother Trent mentioned earlier, but the reality is it's still unfulfilling. One thing about this Bible and the truth and knowledge within it, it fulfills that curiosity that Satan always preyed upon amongst the cure. He's like, I don't need nothing else. Everything I need to be shown is in the word in of itself. I don't need to be high. My natural high comes with the Holy Spirit and finding the truth of myself and our God, and with that knowledge through Christ on how to actually help guide and protect God's people on earth. With that, brother, thank you. I'm beyond the time. I have to eat, and thanks for sharing your testimony. Bless you.
Thank you for receiving me. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother. Great testimony. Well, that concludes our broadcast for today.